also took place in Boston, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Portland, Seattle, and Oakland. They also happened in some smaller cities, like, as Frank Hammond reports, Richmond, Virginia, when some protesters shut down busy I-95.
Troopers arrested four men and six women around midnight after they refused to leave the highway.
Meanwhile, President-elect Trump is to meet with President Obama shortly at the White House. This is USA Radio News.
It started at bunco night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Let's talk about power. To illustrate this, allow me to tell you a story about how I moved a tow truck 25 miles using only my index finger. I was stranded with a flat tire. I opened the GEICO app. Then, with a few taps of my finger, I beckoned emergency roadside assistance and a tow truck to my car. I invite you all to unleash the full potential of your fingertips with the GEICO app. Thank you.
Another case of law enforcement officers being ambushed as they respond to a call. This time it happens outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Two officers shot, one of them's died.
Upon their arrival, the two officers were ambushed. They were shot with an unknown type firearm.
The suspected shooter, Michael Swilinski, is now reportedly dead. They say he took his own life. As the president-elect meets with President Obama shortly, officials with the group Disabled American Veterans say they plan to meet with the Donald Trump transition team in coming weeks to urge him to make health care for veterans a top priority, as he's promised he would. National Legislative Director Joy Elam says the talks will also focus on employment for veterans.
They have adaptability, they are team players, they're dependable. So I think that as a businessman, he'll recognize that is a really worthy cause.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com, you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually 924. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmore924.com or call 855-856-2424.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
As we told you at the top of the newscast, President-elect Donald Trump is to meet with President Obama at the White House around now, and word is Trump has arrived in the nation's capital for that meeting. The two men expected to meet in the Oval Office as a formal transition of government gets underway. Meanwhile, online interest in moving to Canada to avoid a Trump presidency is up, though reporter Sarah Lee Kessler says immigration experts say for now it's mostly just rhetoric.
New York immigration lawyer Michael Wild says calls to his office have tripled, even quadrupled, since Trump's election, mostly from at-risk immigrants. But Americans talking about moving to Canada, not so much.
The experience that we are seeing is more preventing.
And he says our northern neighbor is very picky.
If you have dual language capability, good job offers, and a strong education, different provinces will see your application and move you forward.
Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
A promising new Zika vaccine is now being tested on people after scientists at Walter Reed Army Institute of Research developed it earlier this year and tested it on rhesus monkeys. The animals developed a strong immune response against two strains of that mosquito-borne illness. And a dead man's been elected to city treasurer in Oceanside, California, Gary Ernst, easily defeating Nadine Scott, who is still alive. Even though he died of natural causes in September, it was too late to get his name off the ballot, though. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor-supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited-time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the just-ended presidential election and how the pollsters and pundits got it all wrong. I'll have some observations on what a Trump presidency will look like and why you and I should get together today at 2 p.m. at 100 Central High School. That's right, it's Expo time. It's Thursday, November 10th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 50 degrees at 12:06. The forecast shows that today it'll be partly to mostly sunny with a high of 58 degrees and a low of 36. For tomorrow, it'll become increasingly windy throughout the day with partly cloudy skies and a high of 59, a low of 26. For Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 51 degrees and a low of 25. And for Sunday, it'll be sunny, pleasant, and milder with a high of 58 and a low of 28. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 130.77 to 18,720.46. The NASDAQ is down 44.49 to 5186.59. S&P 500 down 0.94 to 2162.32. Oil is down 52 cents to $44.75 per barrel. And gold is down $10.40 to $1,263.10 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are up to date. I approve this message. Now, head over to www.huntertonchamberradio.com to hear the rest of the program. Oh, my goodness, here we are. We have made it. Congratulations to all of you, by the way, because you all survived election season 2016, and what an election season it was. Hard to imagine that it's over, you know, and that we're here now, and you know, we're finally to that point in time in history where we can say, okay, it's time to get on with the business of running the country. We've got a lot to talk about today with regards to an election recap. We're going to be talking about something that happened overnight with regards to protesters. I'll have some thoughts on that. I'm pretty sure if you listen to this show for any length of time, you'll know exactly where I'm going to come across on that one. But it's, you know, it's hard. Well, it's hard and it's not to imagine and recall that, you know, we're here some 500 and some odd days later, and we now have a new president that is, for lack of a better term, some people love him, some people hate him, but Donald Trump has been elected as our new president here in the United States. The response around the world was rather swift. I believe it was Egypt who called first to offer their congratulations, and credit you know, all of the world leaders. There's a lot of people who, you know, do not like Donald Trump, and yet they at least came out and did call, offer their support, offer to work with him to start. There's the question of whether or not he will be presidential enough, and that has yet to be seen. But here is Trump during his acceptance speech.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
And she did fight very hard. Both of them, I think, fought very hard. Both of them, you know, at times it looked like it was getting too personal, and then at other times it looked like what it never seemed to come across that we had a chance to really wind down and hone in on the issues affecting the country. A lot of it was very personal, and I think that kind of sometimes worked against both candidates. We'll dig deeper into why you know, Hillary lost versus Trump winning, but I think this is going to go down as the upset of the century, more so than, you know, Ali beating Liston. It just, excuse me, I have never seen anything that turned very quickly. I think everybody at some point felt, well, we'll still go vote, but we know how this is going to end. And then to watch the election coverage and see how it was happening, one term that came to mind was from George Bush, you know, shock and awe. When I saw that Florida went Trump, when I saw that other states were leaning towards Trump, North Carolina, I said, this is turning here. We have something going on. Around the country, you woke up yesterday either with a feeling of relief. You woke up yesterday with dismay, disbelief. You woke up, as some people said, depressed that their candidate did not win. And we're gonna talk a little bit. We're gonna dive down into what everybody is saying could be the reasons for a Trump victory, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. I think my wife was the one that brought it up to me first when she mentioned that the one thing you didn't see during this whole campaign, not since June during the primaries, the one thing you didn't see was a lot of lawn signs. People weren't putting signs out on their front. Some people did, but a lot of people, the people that you would normally see in your neighborhoods, weren't putting lawn signs out that indicated that they were voting one way or the other. And so it was kind of hard to determine, not so much to determine the level of interest, but I think it was people just had a fear. They didn't want to be labeled as being a Trump supporter. They didn't want to be labeled as being a Clinton supporter. A lot of people that own businesses said they couldn't and wouldn't put a sign out simply because it could alienate half of their customer base, and they didn't want people to not shop with them simply because of their political leanings. So one of the things that, and I talked to Ed Saunders from Saunders Jewelry yesterday, and he said that as we mentioned that part of the story, he said, well, people were leaning in towards Trump, meaning they, if somebody said, who are you voting for? They would kind of lean over and whisper, I'm voting for Trump. You know, they were the silent voter, the closet voter. And the term came out, the closet Democrats, the closet Republicans. People came out of the woodwork to vote. Now, one of the thoughts and observations that a lot of people had as far as looking at two different candidates was that Trump had a message and Hillary didn't. Now, Trump's message was, very simply, as you saw in all of the red hats, make America great again. And I think a lot of people resonated with that. You know, we've been through the recession, the Great Recession, as it's called, and I think people said, yeah, I want to make America great again. I want better jobs. I want more pay, things like that. And they felt that a businessman might be able to deliver that. He talked about issues with voters on a regular basis. He talked about jobs, health care, and big government. And Hillary didn't have that message. And I think towards the end, with all of the distractions with emails and FBI probes and things like that, that suddenly, and, you know, there was Benghazi, there was, the emails and the Anthony Weiner emails, it just got to the point where it was too much of a distraction. I think people got tired of it, and unfortunately for Hillary, they got tired of it at the very end, in the 11th hour. When we come back, we're going to have a portion of Hillary Clinton's concession speech, and then we'll talk about the fact that she had no message and how that resonated with voters. You're listening to Taking Care of Business on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Normally I come out of the music a little bit sooner, but I was waiting for a sneeze to appear, and once that passed, I could come back on the air, so I do apologize for that. Now we talk about Hillary Clinton for a few minutes, and here is an excerpt from her concession speech the other night.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for being here. And I love you all, too. Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together, this vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
So that was Hillary Clinton during her concession speech. And I got to tell you, that was one of the best. We watched it in my office yesterday, and that was one of the best speeches that I've ever seen her deliver. And I think had she done a little bit more of that during the campaign, been real with people, shown some more emotion, I think that it may have helped her in the long run. Now, we talked about the messaging that that the Trump campaign had, jobs, health care, and big government. And Hillary, it seemed, didn't have that. So her theme, her slogan, was "I'm with her." And that started a year and a half ago. And it wasn't until about 4 or 5 months ago when they rolled out the plane that all of a sudden you saw stronger together. But even that wasn't the overriding theme to her campaign. She really ran a negative-only campaign. It was always attack, attack, attack on Trump. Never issues. It was always about, is this, do we want a misogynist, narcissistic? And it was always personal towards Donald Trump. And I think that part of what also hurt her campaign was the confidence factor. About a month before the election, when the whole Access Hollywood tape came out, her poll numbers shot up. And I think at that point, she kind of turned off being presidential candidate and was worried more about down ballot candidates. And as a result, I think she kind of took her eye off the prize for a little bit. She was working for senators and going around the country, but she wasn't really promoting herself. And I think that that was an opportunity. And that you know, you talk about being the closer, the like the Mariano Rivera, that's when you want to come in. That's the ninth inning and really make that strong final push. And it was almost like she was distracted, and she was so confident she was going to win that eventually she started working for others. The distractions, the emails, the FBI investigation, not one but two, the Clinton Foundation, the pay-to-play through the Clinton Foundation, the donations from foreign countries to get appointments with her at the State Department. I think after a while, people tired of it. And now, at the tail end, when I think when James Comey, and we're going to have to see how this plays out, because he is not hired by the president. He has tenure. He'll be there for about another 7 years. It'll be interesting to find out the relationship between James Comey and President Trump, and whether or not there will be another investigation of Hillary with regards to these emails or anything else. I think at some point you just put it behind you and move forward. But the big question was, how did the polls, how were they so wrong, and how were so many of them so wrong? And another thing that bothers me a little bit is, I don't think Kellyanne Conway is getting the credit that she deserves. She ran a brilliant campaign. Now, remember, she came in with about 4 months to go, and she said, we're going to do this my way. There was a little bit of, you know, cleaning out the broom closet, so to speak, getting rid of some people who were the typical political machine. She said, this is how we're going to win. She saw things in poll numbers that nobody else saw. She saw things in metrics that nobody else. She had her own ground game, about a third of the size of the Clinton campaign, and yet she knew we have to go back to Wisconsin, and they did several times when Hillary abandoned Wisconsin after the primaries. So I think Kellyanne Conway deserves more credit, but... And I don't want to throw this all on mainstream media. How did the pollsters get it so wrong? Every day you heard the polls have Hillary up 4%, 5%, 6%, you know, at one point 11 or 13%, as little as a month ago. How did they get it so wrong? I think the problem is they didn't listen to rural America. They did, you know, it's the old, well, you didn't ask me, you know. So if you continue to question the same people. Who are you voting for? Why are you voting for them? Is this a protest vote against the other candidate? Do you really support them? Are you a white female, college educated, and all that stuff? The actual markers, the polling questions were fine. I just don't think they asked enough people. You have, I think the number is somewhere around 110 to 120 million people who voted in this election.
But the poll sampling sizes were only between 500 and 1,000 respondents. How can you say that 1,000 people speak for 110 million? And I know there's science and math that goes into that, but I think what you have to look at is they weren't asking necessarily the right people. You know, were they asking the farmer in Iowa? Were they asking the steel worker in Pittsburgh or anything like that? I think they kept going after the wrong demographic, and I think it bit them in the end. And they believed their numbers, and it didn't work out. And it didn't take into account that hidden Trump voter that I spoke about earlier. Rural voters voted more for Trump in this election, overwhelmingly, 5 to 8% more than they did for Mitt Romney. But conversely, black voters, their numbers were way down. And that's what got Obama elected. Younger voters, their numbers were down. And Latino voters' numbers were down. Third-party candidates, Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, if you were to add up all of their votes in those states, it was enough to push Hillary over the edge and to defeat Trump. But people have choices. And in some states, Gary Johnson was getting 3 and 4% of the vote. In Utah, there was a third-party candidate that, you know, took 19% of the vote. So that didn't help her either. And I don't think they really factored in that third-party candidate enough as well. This is the fourth time in U.S. history that the candidate with the popular vote, the majority of the popular vote, has lost the election. Last one, Al Gore. So two failures now for Hillary Clinton at running for president. It's pretty obvious, both at her age and what she's been able to do. I think we're done with the Clintons. Unless Chelsea were to come in 10 years from now and say she was running for president, I don't think we're going to hear a lot more from Hillary. Over the next 6 months, there will be times when she is asked her opinion, and I think eventually they're just going to kind of fade into the sunset, and maybe she'll take on a higher role in the Clinton Foundation. But I think that as far as politics is concerned, she would be done. She said, yes, I would like to work with Donald Trump. I just don't think there's a position there for it. I don't know how you can get past all the negativity and say, sure, join my administration. So when we talk about what took down Hillary, yes, the emails, the FBI, the trustability, but here was another key indicator. At no time during the campaign did Hillary really get above like 45% in the polls. And a lot of polls went a couple different ways. Did she, was there the trust factor and things like that? Very low in those numbers. And then, but when you don't have that overwhelming commanding lead, you don't get past that 50%. Obama in the last election was at like 52, 53%. That's telling you right there, the balance has shifted. I have more than you. I should win if people do in fact go out and vote. She overlooked Michigan. She overlooked Wisconsin. Hadn't visited there since the primaries. And then, you know, she came in last minute on Monday night to visit Michigan. But I think that was, you know, way too little and way too late. Interesting fact from the election the other night. The Canadian immigration server crashed during the airing of the election results with people asking the question, how do I move to Canada? And as we heard on the news break and may hear again in a few minutes, it's not an easy process. It's not like you just, this is not, in Canada, it's not give me you're tired, you're poor, you're hungry. It's here, fill out this application. You better be able to speak two languages and we'll let you know. So all those actors and actresses and celebrities that said they're moving, not an easy prospect. But it was interesting to note that during the election results, as people started to see that tide shift, suddenly Google is lighting up with Canadian immigration questions. And when we talk about the celebrities, is there anybody out there that really cares what a George Clooney, what a Brad Pitt, what anybody else says? Is that really going to sway your vote? Oh, George Clooney's voting for Clinton. I got to vote for Clinton. No, absolutely. To me, no. Does it matter? I'm based on issues. I'm based on like we talked about, the trustability. I want to know that I'm voting for the best person. Republican or Democrat, I want to know that I've got the best person in that position. And with the 2020 election coming up, let's be clear. There are 320 million Americans in this country. Let's hope we can find two better ones than we just went through, because this country can't afford another election like this, and I hope that the next one isn't as necessary. When we come back, a couple of more observations from the election and from the results, and then we'll continue on. And a special message for those protesters that are out there burning the American flag. I got a size 12 for you that I'm just warming up. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to place it when we come back. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It was a unifying speech, and he recognized those folks on Tuesday night, talked about the people who didn't support him, and said, I am committed to being president for all Americans.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie heading up the transition team for Donald Trump on the Today Show. Christie said the president-elect has been very cordial with Secretary Clinton.
I've spoken to him about that, but what I'll tell you is they had an enormously gracious conversation with each other on Tuesday night. The secretary was very gracious to Donald, to the president-elect, and the president-elect has been incredibly gracious to her. Again, politics are over now. People have spoken. Time to move to uniting the country.
And obviously, angry White House spokesman Josh Earnest spoke about the election results, saying that despite the feelings within the White House, they're going to do their jobs.
I'm not trying to convince you that he's not disappointed by the outcome. Everybody around here is disappointed by the outcome, but just as determined to continue their service to the American people.
USA Radio News.
Have you ever noticed your hair breaking off in a shower? Or has your hair become flat and lifeless? Revive your hair with Cell Therapy by Ovation, a breakthrough treatment not found in any other hair care line. Cell Therapy's unique blend of nourishing proteins, amino acids, and key nutrients treat the scalp and cuticle, defending against breakage, for hair that is thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier. Hundreds of thousands of clients swear by Ovation Cell Therapy. In fact, over 94% of Ovation customers say they recommend Cell Therapy to their friends. And Ovation Cell Therapy is risk-free with their 365-day, 100% money-back guarantee. So stop the breakage, repair split ends, and add more bounce and shine into your poor lifeless hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Just go online to ovationhair.com, and new customers get a special introductory discount when you select USA News at checkout. Great hair is just one click away at ovationhair.com, and remember to select USA News.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine, taking care of business, working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy, with you. Taking a look at the weather today, it'll be partly to mostly sunny with a high of 58 degrees and a low of 36. A great day to get your butt over to Hunterdon Central Regional High School so that you can join us for the Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase. And that happens today from 2 to 7 p.m. at Hunterdon Central High School in the Fieldhouse Commons area. Our 28th annual Restaurant and Business Home Expo. So make sure that you get out there and support local businesses. This is your opportunity. About 100 to 110 different businesses all in one place. And I want to challenge you. Take the list of all the businesses that are at the expo. And then I want you to go out on a Saturday and try to visit every one of them in Hunterdon County. No way you're going to be able to do that. Here we've got them all under one roof. You get to walk down the aisles, talk to them about their business, talk to them about their products and services. Later on this evening, you'll be able to try some samples from some of the great restaurants we have in Hunterdon County. So make sure you get – it's free. So make sure you get over to the Hunterdon Central Regional High School Fieldhouse and Commons for the Business and Home Expo. And you can tell them Jim Gano sent you from Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Stop by our booth. We're across from Dr. D, Crown Trophy, and Signs by Crown and Crown Custom Apparel. Be glad to talk to you about how we can help your business, as will every other exhibitor there. So, again, 50 degrees currently at 1232, and it's going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 58. Tomorrow it'll be increasingly windy, partly cloudy skies and a high of 59, a low of 26. Saturday, mostly sunny and breezy, a high of 51 and a low of 25. And Sunday, it'll be sunny, pleasant, and milder with a high of 58 degrees and a low of 28. Back now to the show, talking about the election recap and Yeah, it's funny because when I first started talking about the election a year and a half ago, there wasn't a whole lot really to talk about on the program. I would just say, oh, we got a debate coming up. This guy's running, that guy's running. And then not that it overtook the show, but we started spending a little bit more time because a lot of issues started coming up. An observation from the other night was that I didn't like was that Hillary did not make a concession speech to the folks at the Javits Center. I thought that was in poor taste. Now, I get it. She was upset. A lot of people are saying, why didn't she? It was late in the night. It was 2:30. But these people had been there from like 6 p.m. They had worked on her campaign. They had voted for her. They supported her. They deserved an opportunity to see her and to be thanked by her for their efforts. And even if it's a concession speech, you know, at least get out with the people that worked so hard for you. So I was a little upset that Hillary didn't take the time to go see the. Who knows what was happening in her hotel room? She could have been, you know, absolutely devastated, crying, probably couldn't even get out of the chair, probably physically exhausted with the schedule that she maintained. But I think that it would have meant more to the people had she been there. People noticed that both Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton were wearing the color purple at the concession speech the next day. And they were asked why. Well, here's the deal. In the electoral map, you have the red states and you have the blue states. And at the Crayola factory, when you mix red and blue, you get purple. Purple was the symbol that Hillary and Bill wanted to show as if to unify the nation. And that's why she chose the pantsuit with the purple lapels. That's why he was wearing a purple tie. I thought that was a class act on the part of the Clintons. And, so that was a good move with regards to how they portrayed that unity. The protesters apparently aren't getting these memos, but we'll talk about them in a minute. Another thing that we have to look at is that for Donald Trump, he has no political and no military experience. And it's also been said that because he's not beholden to rich donors, he has no baggage. You know, there's no lobbyist that really, you know, funded his campaign where you would have to say that they are owed something, if you will. So he owes no. So he kind of goes in with a clean slate. Whether or not he's going to be able to work with the Democrats in Congress and the senators has yet to be seen. Hopefully, I think after 8 years of stalemate, it would be great on both parties' parts to get together and put this country moving forward. So hopefully he'll be able to do that. The key test is going to be the military experience. Who does he pick to run the military, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and how heavily does he rely on them? So the first test, I'm sure, is going to be coming up within the first few months of his administration, and it will be interesting to see how he handles that. Now we move on to the family. Melania Trump will be the second foreign-born first lady since Adams to live in the White House, but to be foreign-born. So she has already said that she wants to take up bullying, cyberbullying, and as one of her main causes, and hopefully that is an issue that definitely deserves national attention, and hopefully she'll be able to do something with that. As far as the Trump kids, Eric and Ivanka, and Donald, it looks as if they will now inherit the Trump building and construction empire and manage those properties, continue with building, and continue to build that brand. There is a lot of talk about the possible conflict of interest. How can you be president but still have a company, and how do you separate the two? And I'm sure if Ivanka went to dinner at the White House, hey, by the way, what's happening at Trump Tower? What's happening here? It'll come up in conversation. But he can't run both. And the other thing you have to consider is that Trump now gets squelched a little bit because he won't be able to just, in his office, he has a microphone much like the one I'm talking to right now. So if Bloomberg News calls, you know, says, hey, can you come on at 8 o'clock? He just talks into the microphone and it's already wired to Bloomberg through a T1 line. So anytime somebody wants an interview, they've got instant access. That goes away. I think the tweets start to go away, and eventually he will be more presidential. An interesting thing to watch early Wednesday morning was the stock futures. every market was down. The Dow at one point was down 800 points. You were waking up on Wednesday with like near calamitous results, and yet it rebounded to close up over 250 points yesterday. At the beginning of this show, as of the noon hour, the Dow was up 130 points. Only the NASDAQ, it seems to be having trouble today. But the S&P 500 was up marginally. So it wasn't that calamitous result that everybody thought, oh, Trump's president, you know, let's sell everything and hide it under the mattress kind of thing. So interesting to see that, you know, even the markets, you know, were okay, which meant that if a lot of people, a lot of investors felt that Donald Trump would be okay and would be good for business. Now, this is a hard one because I am a very proud American, a very patriotic American, and there's going to be arguments on both sides of this fence. But last night we saw a lot of protesters in various cities across the country, big cities, small cities, towns, it didn't matter. There were schools, colleges actually closed because the students were so upset that their candidate didn't win. Cry me a river, people. Are you kidding me? Let's grow a pair. Let's be big boys and girls. We're off to college now. Sometimes you lose. This isn't T-ball anymore. What the heck are we doing? Oh, my candidate didn't win. I can't possibly go to class. Are you kidding me? Grow up, all of you. This is ridiculous that in this day and age, we can't go to class because our candidate didn't win? Oh, poor baby. So schools are closing. I don't mind if there's protests. State your piece. But Hillary said it. Let's work together with President Trump. Trump said it. Let's work together to make this the best country we can be. No, what do? We create a new hashtag called Not My President. It's now one of the highest trending hashtags on Twitter, the Not My President. Sit-ins in schools in Arizona and California. But that's not what I'm upset about. What I'm upset about is the people who resorted to burning the flag as a sign of protest. To me, that's disgusting. The flag does not represent Donald Trump, nor does it represent Hillary Clinton. It represents the United States of America and all that we have been through to get to this point in time in our history. The men and women who have served in our military, and I'm reminded that today is the anniversary of the founding of the United States Marine Corps, those who served and died for us so that we may live in a free country, did so out of a sense of duty, honor, and country. Something these too often spoiled, coddled, my baby does nothing wrong generation kids simply cannot comprehend. Now, I don't mind if people want to protest, but burning our flag on our soil is no better than when terrorists burn our flag on theirs. So maybe these idiots should move there. Then they can burn the flag wherever they want. Both Trump and Clinton, and very eloquently, by the way, encouraged everyone to work together, not to burn flags. America, I would hope we are better than this. And to our veterans, I want to thank you for your service, and I apologize for these ungrateful bastards that chose to desecrate the very symbol that you cherish and served for. God bless you all. For those of you who think it's appropriate to burn our flag, I have pity and shame for you. You are not exercising your right to free speech. You're exercising your right to be an asshole, and you have done that very well. God bless America, and folks, you know, I don't care where we're at. When I see the American flag being burned on TV in some faraway land, it just boils my blood. When I see it happening in this country, the only thing I want to do, when it's being burned on our soil, the only thing I want to do is take my size 12 boot and shove it so far up their ass that I can tie my laces out of their nostrils. This, we are better than that as a country. We are the best country in the free world, in any world. We're the best country. And this is what you've resorted to. Now, if you want to have a hashtag that says, not my president, if you don't want to support Donald Trump, that's completely up to you. But burning our flag on our soil, absolutely 100% unacceptable. If I saw one of my employees doing it on TV, fired immediately the next day. Guarantee it. And if somebody did it in front of my store or in front of my house, they'd need an ambulance. We'll be right back.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You lucky dog, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Next week, we'll get back to the regular programming. This week is more of an election recap as we talk about the recently concluded presidential election and a couple important issues that have yet to be determined. The first one would be what we call SCOTUS, or the Supreme Court of the United States. There has been one candidate out there that was nominated by President Obama that got no traction, never made it to the floor of the House. I would say he's out. Donald Trump has already said he is going to look for a conservative Supreme Court, and we still have to replace Justice Antonin Scalia. It's also reported that Justice Kennedy and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg may also, because of their age, have to be replaced at some time, whether it's through their death or through retirement. Most times you serve for life, but it is conceivable that they could retire. So the next president, well, now we know that it's Donald Trump, could actually be faced with filling 3 vacancies on the court. The first one, obviously, would be to replace Antonin Scalia. But over the course of the next 4 years, it's conceivable that the court would find 3 new faces. If you're going conservative, there's already talk that that may have an effect on Roe v. Wade. There's talk that that could have an effect on gay marriage. So it'll be very interesting to watch the court and how new laws are interpreted. Even marriage amongst gay and lesbian couples could come back in front of the Supreme Court. So that's something. Now, there were a lot of things that Donald Trump talked about, threatened, etc., that he would want to eliminate in his first 100 days. And that's usually one of the benchmarks of any presidential administration, or what they call the first 100 days. A lot of executive actions taken by Barack Obama, Donald Trump has already said he's going to eliminate. Another thing that he's talked about doing is repealing and replacing Obamacare. And now that he has control of both the Senate and Congress, he could do it. I don't know that you throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think we've come pretty far with Obamacare. Yes, it does need improving as regards to the increased premiums, but
to start all over, I don't know that that's necessarily the right way. But a lot of people are watching this to see, is this something that gets thrown out day one? Or will advisors come in and say, it's broke, but we can fix it kind of thing? So Obamacare would be one of the issues front and center of a new Donald Trump administration. And then there's the talk of what kind of an administration does Donald Trump have? And names are being floated around, like Newt Gingrich for Secretary of State. Giuliani, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, as Attorney General. Reince Priebus as Chief of Staff. And still, Chris Christie's name circulating. He was on the Today Show this morning and said he would serve, but he has no eyes on a particular position. He is in charge of the transition team, so it'll be interesting to see whether or not Chris Christie gets a position in the administration. Or are there names that aren't even coming to the fore just yet that that would have to be looked at or could be part of this administration? I think a lot of whether or not a Trump administration is successful is going to be determined based on the cabinet that he selects, based on who is leading the military, and based on who he selects for the Supreme Court. An interesting point about that Supreme Court, he no longer needs, because he has the majority of both the House and the Senate, does not need Democratic approval, because the Republicans could just vote this person in. Laws were changed a few years ago showing you only needed 51 votes in the Senate. So this could happen a lot swifter than more people are thinking. Now, on the course of this program over the last year, we've used a countdown timer on several different occasions, you know, countdowns to debates and things like that. Another countdown timer that can start right now is there are just 70 days until Inauguration Day. Meeting today at the White House are both Donald Trump and President Obama in the Oval Office. So Donald Trump will get a chance to see where he'll be working for the next 4 years. And one of the things that Barack Obama has come out and said is, now's the time to start talking about transition. Obama has actually had people working on a peaceful transition for over a year. Chris Christie has been working for about the last 4 to 6 months on the transition, as would a member of the Clinton party, because there's a lot that has to happen. Now it's brass tacks time. Now you have 70 days to get the right people in place to fill key positions and to make that a smooth transition. But I found it very interesting that Barack Obama said he was actually working on the transition for over, had people, 6 or 7 people assigned to it, to work on a smooth and peaceful transition. So hopefully that will happen as well. So it remains to be seen if Donald Trump can truly make America great again. I think, as with anything in politics, sometimes you have to put your party affiliation aside and say, I will support this president, unless he does something so egregious that you can't, but nobody's there yet, and that we as a country have to work together to make America great again as well. Another thing, Facebook and social media. What I saw was I don't even have a word for it. The way people who were supposed to be friends were attacking each other on Facebook, that has to stop as well. You know, I saw a gentleman the other day, he's a friend of mine, a very well-respected businessman, and he got into an argument. He was pro-Clinton, and a woman who was pro-Trump actually told him to do something to himself that is anatomically impossible. I'll let you use your imagination. But I was like, these people are supposed to be friends, and here we are just like ready to kill each other over who becomes president. So I thought that was in poor taste and hopefully can be remedied as well. Currently it's 12:53, and of course that means I've got 7 minutes left in the program and 7 minutes before I have to head over to Hunterdon Central High School, the Fieldhouse and Commons, for the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase. Very excited about it. I look forward to this every year. This is the 28th annual one. It comes in the 100th anniversary of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. So it's at the Fieldhouse and Commons. Your opportunity to visit with over 100 businesses and restaurants showcasing their talents, their products, their services from all around Hunterdon County. There's great restaurants going to be there. There's a great trophy store going to be there. Dom Molina's will be there. I believe they're actually going to be cutting hair at the expo. So if you want to get a haircut, not a bad idea to go there for that. So there's a ton of businesses that are going to be there. And your opportunity to see them all. There's banks, there's restaurants. So, you know, make sure you get out there and, support your local businesses and, so that you can see what's out there. During the recent pumpkin hunt with the Flemington Community Partnership, there was a great posting on Facebook where a person said that she stopped into six businesses that she normally wouldn't go into just to collect a little pumpkin sticker, then saw what those businesses had to offer. And, now she knows that these are businesses that she may want to do business with in the future. So you can now have that same opportunity today. Tell your boss, I need to get off work a little early today and head over to the Business Expo. And then at 5 o'clock, the restaurant showcase, a chance to sample some of the great food available from the local restaurants here around Hunterdon County. So your chance to support local businesses and make some new friends in business, and hopefully even an opportunity for businesses to network with each other. And, you may have like services or services that you need. Maybe a plumber needs a lawyer, a lawyer needs a plumber. You know, you may be able to find that at the expo. So make sure you get out there today. And don't forget, ShopRite will be there, so you can sample some of their food as well. And just a great, great time. And again, I challenge you, get a list of all of the exhibitors, and then on a Saturday start at, say, 9 in the morning, and try to visit all 100 businesses. Even if you just step in the parking lot and said, I was here, you wouldn't be able to do it in one Saturday afternoon. Here we've brought it all under one roof for you. So make sure you stop by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase. Now, a couple minutes ago, I was talking about countdown timers and that we had just 70 days until the inauguration of Donald Trump. More importantly to me, I have just 23 days before I hop on a plane and head out to Aruba for about 5 or 6 days of rest and relaxation. Can't wait for that. And to depress you just a little bit, there are just 44 days left until Christmas. So we've made it through election season, and now it's time to start thinking about the other things in life, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so it'll be, there's a lot coming. Just when you thought you just got through this year and a half long marathon of the election, and now it's time to get ready for the other busy season in your life. In sports, in NASCAR's round of eight, Carl Edwards joins Jimmy Johnson as the only two drivers locked into the championship round of the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup after winning the rain-delayed, then rain-shortened AAA Texas 500 race last weekend. This week, the teams will travel to Phoenix for the Can-Am 500 this Sunday at 2:45 p.m. In NCAA football, they head into Week 10, and the AP Top 10 looks like this. Alabama leads the poll in the number one spot, as they have all year, followed by Michigan, Clemson, Washington, and Louisville. Ohio State, Wisconsin, Auburn, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M round out the top 10. Moving up to number 12 on that list is the Penn State Nittany Lions. They have not been that high in over 6 years. NFL Week 10 kicks off tonight with the Cleveland Browns facing the Baltimore Ravens. Game time is 8:25 p.m. And a special congratulations to the Bridgewater Raritan High School Panthers. They beat Elizabeth High School last week to complete back-to-back undefeated regular seasons. Tomorrow night, they take on Columbia in the first round of the state playoffs. I'll be announcing that game at Bazelon Field starting at 7 p.m. So if you're looking for good football action, stop by Bazelon Field tomorrow night on the campus of Bridgewater Raritan High School. And you can check out all the action there as the Panthers try to head back to Giant Stadium for another chance at a championship ring. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I was in the show, excuse me, with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. on Twitter at JimGano83 or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Don't forget, I hope to see you this afternoon at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase, 2 to 7 p.m. at Hunterdon Central High School in the Fieldhouse Commons area. Your chance to network with over 100 businesses from Hunterdon County. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Take action that can move forward. Remember, it takes 6 seconds. Gratefulness is also a way of moving forward, okay? And